Jim Taylor back on WMJ and WMJ.com. We say congratulations this morning to former United head football coach Tim Engebretson. He's being inducted into the Illinois High School Football Coaches Association Hall of Fame, and that ceremony takes place this weekend as part of the University of Illinois Football Coaches Clinic down in Champaign, Urbana. We say congratulations, Coach Engebretson, and I know it's great when you're recognized by your peers. There's probably only one better way to be recognized, and that's to be recognized by your former players. But to be recognized by your peers, that's pretty neat too, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's such a good association. There's a lot of good people involved, and John Elder had gotten me involved with some different things with that association. So back talking to some of those people, and just some really, really quality human beings involved, and it's nice to talk to those guys again and be involved with them again.
Well, I know when you get these type of honors, you can always pause for reflection. Are you doing that a little bit going into this weekend?
Definitely, and that's the best thing about it, is bringing back some memories and talking about it, and probably drive my wife a little crazy, getting back into old glory day stories and so on. But that's the best thing about it, bringing back memories and talking to people like you and just different people involved with sports in the area. Yeah, the reflection has been really good, and it's been real enjoyable from that aspect.
I know the highlight was the 2004 season, the Red Storm, the first year of consolidation. They win a state title. And we know those years are memorable, but I know there's other moments that don't involve state championships as well, because, you know, as every coach that receives these type of honors, you just don't win state titles every year. But I know that has to be one of the highlights among many other things.
Yeah, without a doubt. And the good thing about that is I felt like you know, there was only one group who did it in our situation, but I felt like everyone was with us, you know, from whether it be from Alexis or from Warren in that situation. I felt like they were all kind of with us when we went there to Champaign and got on the turf, because a lot of other kids put a lot of hard work and effort to get there, and we just didn't quite make it. So I kind of carried the banner for a lot of different people and thought about those people a lot when I was on the field there.
Well, and that's the other thing. I mentioned consolidation. The first year after the consolidated district comes into effect, you know, you were kind of a pilot project almost in this area because of the other consolidations that occurred, but you were in a really unique situation because you had to kind of do it twice. The initial consolidation was, you know, Warren and Alexis, and then Yorkwood came on board a couple of years later. So what about dealing with that challenge? I know those are growing pains, as people refer to, and sometimes those growing pains can take five or six years. What about dealing with that?
Yeah, the first year was difficult because, you know, there's of course, and I'm from a small community of my own and where I was raised, and it's really hard for people to change, and it's hard for adults to change, hard for students to change, student-athletes. But the biggest thing is once the kids got together and saw they were similar type of young men and that they all had the same goals, and They just really gelled well together, and I think that made it really easy for us as a staff, that everyone, all the kids got along pretty well. They all were willing to give up something to, you know, accomplish a greater goal, and I just can't emphasize that enough how much those kids potentially gave up in individual glory to get the team glory. And I think, you know, I just know that year, our first year, like, for example, we had juniors that I think were potentially all conference players that were really only going one way or just playing special teams. And, you know, there was the exceptions, you know, the Greg McGraws and the Eric Hansons that went both ways. But most of our kids were two-way players and maybe all special teams down to one-way player and one or two special teams. It made us a lot better, too, because we're well-rested and very fresh in every game.
Well, you had such a great run at Warren, and then United. When you reflect back, what were some of the influence that you had coaching that may have helped you along the way during your actual tenure or even before you became a head coach?
You know, there's so many, you're afraid to leave people off. But, of course, my first was probably my junior high basketball coach. He was Rusty Egan. He was just a family friend, first of all, and I just liked the way he was around kids and what he did with kids, and that was a big influence. And Don Carlson at Forest in high school was a big influence on me when I was in high school. And then, you know, the whole Knoxville crew when I was over there, Dave Whiteman, Dennis Larson, Dave Bass, Bill Fluett is over at Aledo now. Just different people that were really good to me and their families. How, you know, it's not just the coaches, it's the whole families that bring you into the fold and make you feel good. And then, here at United, everybody, and at Warren, everyone was just positive. Ben McIntosh, probably the biggest influence of all of them, called my plays all 19 years as I was a head coach. And so there's, you know, again, there's numerous others that that were here that had influence on me, but those are the ones that, that stick out in my mind. And then coaching with the John Reynolds, the Steve Cairns, Rick Johnsons, Fred Lucas, and one of my best friends, Ron Nelson, a neighbor of mine. So just one guy after another having an influence. And what was fun about it is each person having a different impact on the program in a different way. So that was pretty cool.
Well, and I know the other thing that's neat about the coaching fraternity is that on a Friday night you can look across the sideline and say, man, I want to beat you.
Yeah.
And I want to beat you because I have a lot of respect for you. There's a lot of that in this area where, you know, there's these, I'm not going to call them heated rivalries, but they're big rivalries, and I think a lot of it has to do with, well, you're playing a team, you know, a program that wins a lot, and you have respect for that guy across the sideline, and maybe it means a little bit more if you beat that program. There's a lot of that in this area.
Definitely, without a doubt, and there's a lot of good programs in there, and a lot of good coaches, and it gets a lot better when you get older, too. You know, when I was young, it was more of a, it was a really a personal thing. You tried to beat someone, and you want this. And then as you get older, it's like you just said, you know, the respect factor. Then it's more of, I want to beat them because it'd be a feather in our cap, and it'd be really something positive to beat somebody that good and that positive. And you can start seeing all the different positive things other people do, and then you can appreciate it instead of just wanting to beat their brains in, you know.
Well, and the other thing, Coach, you stepped away in 2011. About 6 years you've haven't been involved in a coaching standpoint, more of a following your children play, or more of an indirect role of just being a fan. How tough or how challenging has it been to adjust to that, and how much do you miss coaching on the sideline?
I miss quite a bit. The different thing, and you know, watching your own children play, how difficult it is. And with me in coaching, there was always an outlet. You know, you could always watch film, you could do something to alleviate the stress. And with your own kids, it's not there. You know, you can watch stuff and you can do things, but it's not for the good of the program. It's just for your own well-being, and that just isn't the same. When your own team, there's always something to work on, but with your own kids, to me, it's just much more stressful. But I miss the, I really miss the camaraderie of the coaches and the kids, and just that little thing, you know. It just was always something to talk about, and there was always something to do for your program, and it was just a constant. You were needed by someone, and somebody needed you, and it was just, that's a good feeling. And when you're not coaching, you don't have that as much, and it's a little bit different. That's probably what I miss the most.
You know, when you're able to sit back and, you know, not be involved on a day-to-day basis of high school football, you know, I know you stay close to the game, but, you know, from a, you know, an evaluation standpoint, in terms of kind of the statement or the condition of the game, can high school football last? Are you concerned a little bit about the numbers game? And, you know, I know you follow the area enough where you see some of these programs, you know, they have challenges with numbers, and one of the topics of conversation now is, at least in the northern portion of the state, you know, there's the one conference going to eight-man football next year. And to be quite honest, when I first heard about that, I was a little bit opposed to that concept. But then the more I thought about it, if it can save the game in some of these small schools, maybe it is a good idea. So what do you think about the status of the game right now?
I think, you know, when I was younger, we went through a stretch where there was a lot of co-opting and consolidating, and I was very worried about it then, because I'm a small town guy. I've always been a small town guy, and I just think small town kids can benefit so much from sports in general, especially football. So I was very worried about it then that might not be the best thing, but I know it saved football in a lot of places where whether we co-opt or consolidate or whatever might have taken place. And now with the eight man, I was just like you. I'm not too crazy about it, where I worry about what's going to do to the game, but if it can save the game, as you said, and can keep kids involved in something, I think it's fine. I think we'll adjust. Coaches will adjust, and communities will adjust, and eight-man will be. It's still about the camaraderie, the teamwork, being together, you know, building something as a school and as a team, as a program. So I think eight-man would be fine. I know in different places they play six-man. I think whatever it is, it'll survive somehow, and it'll be good for kids.
as we wrap up, you know, so many people that I've talked to about Coach Ingebretson, and I think this is kind of the ultimate compliment to you, is they say such a nice guy. And there's the old adage in sports that nice guys always finish last. And I say, no, they don't. The example is Tim Ingebretson, who coached 19 years at Warren and then United. And a nice guy has a state championship to show for it. And I know a lot of respect in the area, too. Coach, well-deserved. Congratulations. And enjoy, I guess, a walk down memory lane this weekend.
Hey, thanks, Jim. I also wanted to say it. Now that I'm out of coaching, too, I get to listen to you guys a lot. And I think you and your station have done more for high school sports in this area and throughout the state than anybody I know. And I know media forms, whether it be the papers or whatever, are dying off a little bit. But I really thank you for everything you've done for high school sports and your station and everybody involved in your station, because it's really something. Just the coverage isn't there like it used to be, and you guys really are kind of a beacon for high school sports. And also coaches really appreciate that.
All right, that's Tim Ingebretson again, a 19-year run at Warren and then United High School, being inducted into the Illinois High School Football Coaches Association Hall of Fame this weekend down in Champaign.